A privilege to offer our gospel lesson today from Matthew 21. I invite you to stand. The Gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant, and they said to him, "Do you hear what they are saying?" And Jesus said, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise'?" This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. While we remain standing, I'd like to offer our scripture lesson for our sermon today from Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37, the living and active Word of the Lord. "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said, Amen. Heavenly Father, cause your word to sink deeply into our hearing so as to shape us. Shape our hands, our feet, our thoughts, our speech. May we act and speak and think as those who belong to you. Teach us now with your weighty word. Teach us about our weighty words. We pray this through Jesus, the Word made flesh. And amen. You may be seated. How many problems have been caused by the tongue? How many problems have been caused by our own tongues? How many fires have been kindled, conflicts caused, squabbles sustained, and relationships deadened because of our words? We may have a tendency to blame someone else for the swirl of sin, and at the same time remain blind to what we have done to contribute to the mess through our speech. I am grieved every time I remember my destructive words. Our own words. Also, the words of others. Yes, the words of others are destructive as well. How damaging are those? These could be things said to you or about you. Perhaps the speaker thought it was only mumbled when walking alone in the hallway, or when they were alone in the car. Maybe it is thought that it was only something thought about, and somehow it got out. Words cover territory. Words do not stay in a zip code. Ecclesiastes 10, do not curse the king even in your thought. Do not curse the rich even in your bedroom. For a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter. The words of others, a careless comment, a jest, a jab, a supposedly loving inquiry, sharing something in love, telling someone something for prayer. How much damage was done? What kind of wounds were received? Were they fatal wounds? How long will these wounds last? Is there healing? Why can I still remember those hurtful words? The tongue is small. It is a little thing in our mouths, yet James says that the tongue is large because it affects the whole world, setting the world on fire. No one, no, not one, can control the tongue. The tongue can act like a serpent, accusing, dividing, lying, separating, crushing, killing. The poison of asps can be under our tongues, and James says that the tongue is full of deadly poison, and it is an unruly evil. The tongue can condemn. Like a judge, our tongues can utter sentences which sentence others to death. But speech can also be life-giving, as the Creator spoke and life occurred. A simple word from His image bearers can be living and active and can create a bond. A thoughtful word can solidify a bond very much like a threefold cord, which is not easily broken. The tongue can be used to build up and to strengthen, to comfort, to inquire, to praise, to encourage, to cheer, to beautify, to give life. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. So the tongue can be a source of life, uttering sentences that lift up and free. Our passage is clear. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Our words are weighty. Our Lord's words are weightier. Our words are weighty, and they, each one of them, are known by the Lord before the air of our voices hits the ears of others. Psalm 139, verse 4. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. A tree is known by its fruit. Our words reveal us. A tree is known by the fruit it produces. Foul trees bring forth foul fruit, and healthy trees bring forth healthy fruit. The root and the fruit are connected. Matthew Henry said, "The heart is the root, the language is the fruit." Our gospel lesson today, there were words present. Our Lord spoke to the disciples. The disciples went. The prophet Isaiah had spoken. The prophet Zechariah had spoken. The great multitude had spoken. And the scribes and others had spoken with anger. What are they saying? The end of verse 34 says that out of the abundance of the heart, our mouths speak. In this context, our Lord addresses the serpent-like tendencies of the tongue. He speaks of those who were falsely accusing him, saying that his works were likely of the ruler of the demons. And Jesus says, "Brood of vipers, how can you, if you are evil, speak what is good?" Our words reveal us. They reveal the condition of our hearts. And this tells us that the heart is pumping more than blood. The heart is pumping forth our words. The issues of the heart include what issues from our mouths. This is why James connected our religion, our faith, our allegiance to the Lord with our tongues, and said that our tongues reveal even that. James 1:26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. In this context of Matthew chapter 12, these are words about Jesus. What do we say about him? And Jesus' warning here is most weighty. His words are weighty, and he speaks of our speech and then takes us to places we may not want to go. We may think that speech is a small and trifling matter. Our Lord does not. James warns us about that little body part called the tongue. Our Lord here warns us about the little words that run off our tongues, flowing out of our hearts. "But I say unto you," verse 36, "that for every idle word that you may speak, an accounting will be given in the day of judgment." Idle argos, inactive. Words are death-dealing or life-giving. What are these words? This word is used in Matthew chapter 20 when Jesus speaks of the one hiring workers for the day. And there were some who were standing idle, just doing nothing. Is it possible that words can be coming forth and doing nothing? In 1 Timothy chapter 5, this very same word is used twice and connected with gossip both times. In James chapter 2, verse 20, this very same word is used to speak of faith without works. It's a barren, dead, just sitting there, worthless faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, this very word is used to, and it is translated barren. Judgment day? every idle word? J.C. Ryle said, "Our words will form one subject of inquiry at the day of judgment." I repeat, our words will form one subject of inquiry at the day of judgment. We shall have to give account of our sayings as well as our doings. Our words judge others, and our words judge ourselves. In the just judgment of the Lord in His holiness, He could only bring forth our own judgments, our own condemnations, our own sentences. And we would be guilty. C.S. Lewis in The Great Divorce said that there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, "Thy will be done," and those to whom God says in the end, "Thy will be done." Your own words testify against you. The Lord will judge by His holiness, and our own words will be brought to account on that day. It is not just that our words are death-producing or life-giving to others. Our own words reveal the same in us. Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Weighty words from our Lord about our words. And we all say, "I am undone." Like Isaiah before the throne and the holiness of the Lord, it wasn't just the year that King Uzziah died. He knew he was dying. He said, "I am undone, I'm unraveled, I'm coming apart, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." We are undone. How many sinful words have we spoken? Let's be more like Isaiah and say, "I am undone." How many sinful words have I spoken? What about the sins of my youth? How many sinful words have we spoken and not even known about? What about the frivolity of social media? Tapping without sobriety. Idle, barren communication without eyes or ears to eternity. Posting without a concern for life or death, or even thinking, does it even need to be posted? Thinking that it's okay to share without thinking that I shall have to answer for this. It is a tragedy that some events and some gatherings and some groups seem to only provide opportunities for more repentance. For some, coarse speech is cool. The profane is progressive. And Paul says, "Don't let filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, even be named among you." We have all sinned in many ways. No one is able to control the tongue. James says, if he or she does, that person is perfect, able to control the whole body. Without grace, we are helpless. Without grace, we shall all be condemned by our Lord's word and by our own words. So we need another word. We need something to purge and to purify and to burn. We are like Isaiah. And may we receive from the Lord as Isaiah received from the Lord. In our Lord's grace, he has provided for us, for our hearts and for our tongues. As the seraph, that fiery one, went to Isaiah, having tongued the fiery coals and put the burning coals upon his lips, so the Lord cleanses us. And then he commissions us. Go, forgiven ones, even those of you who have sinned in your speech, now go and learn from this. So let us conclude with this as a prayer and a few points of focus. Our prayer from Psalm 141. Verses 3 and 4, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. You see it all, you hear it all, you are there. So what might this look like? We speak according to the truth that the Lord is witness to our every word. And we learn in this, because his grace enables us to learn in this. We do not speak in the same way that others have spoken to us. Yes, hurtful words are present. Do we respond in kind and then continue to fan the flames, the fire? Perhaps we need to speak less. For our Lord, when he was reviled, he reviled not in return, but he kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. Speak less. Think graciously. Someone has said something. We do not know what's going on and it is hurt. Maybe they wrote something. I will give grace. I will only give what the Lord has given to me. Speak so as to build up others. And beware of the deceitfulness of sin that creeps in and says, I'm going to build them up, but you know, they need to be built up. Speak as if you have, because you have first prayed for them. And remember to remove and then replace. Repent and remove and then replace. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Remove that. But what is good for necessary edification, building up, so that it may impart grace to those who hear. And I mentioned this earlier. Paul says in Ephesians 5:4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. Instead of the coarseness of the cool, or the foolishness of coarseness, why not change that and give thanks? The Lord doesn't leave us as orphans. Finally, praise more. Praise more. From Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, that which is virtuous and praiseworthy, think on these things. Meditate on these things. Let these things sink down into your heart, because then, once they are there, your mouth will speak from what fills the heart. We belong to the Lord, and we bear His name. Let us speak and act as those who bear His name. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.